Hi there, hockey fans, and welcome back to RotoWire Signature NHL Hockey Pod Podcast with Statsman and AJ. Friends, I'm Paul Bruno in Toronto, Ontario, and you can follow me at Statsman22. My co-host, as always, great follow, is AJ Scholes at AJScholes24. He's based in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, near RotoWire headquarters over in Madison. Well, partner, we got back to a much more normal week to start 2022 for most teams, I'll say anyway. Though there were still a few cancellations and a couple of teams still haven't hit the ice for a while. The shortening of the COVID protocols is something we talked about last week, and in fact, it's now in place, so it's only going to be 5 days, but the players still have to produce 2 negative results if they are deemed to be affected by COVID in the first place. In any case, it should help the NHL stay closer to being on schedule going forward. At least I hope so. AJ, what are your thoughts? Any insights or anything else you want to talk about for that matter before we get into it?
Yeah, I mean, I keep feeling like it's going to get better, you know, but we're still hovering around that like 70 to 80 player mark for number of guys on the COVID list. So I won't feel totally confident that we're getting out of it until, you know, that number drops closer to 50. But I think we'll get there eventually. But it's certain teams, you know, Dallas had basically everybody in the COVID protocols. They're all free and clear now. And then, you know, you've got St. Louis just played last night. And they had 3 guys that they put in the COVID protocols this morning. So what does that mean for the rest of their team, the team that they were playing, which happened to be Pittsburgh? So yeah, it's, it seems like 1 step forward, 2 steps back sometimes.
And in Montreal, that's another team that's been absolutely clobbered by it. And they, I guess there's got to be players in that dressing room that just wanted the season to be over already with what's going on there. It's a really tough situation. And I almost feel sorry for them, AJ. But we'll get to them a little bit later in the show. But it's your turn to bat lead off as we look into the rotation of all 32 teams and their rosters. So why don't you get us started with a look at the Anaheim Ducks and the week that was for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one team that is seemingly heading in the right direction is Anaheim. They're going to get, Trevor Zegras back, which is a good sign for them tonight. He's exited the COVID protocols and should immediately jump back in to a top 6 role for them, which is obviously important. They are still likely going to be out with Ryan Getzlaff, Derek Grant, Nick Delorier, and then Sam Carrick and Josh Maher dealing with, non-COVID issues as well. So it's still a pretty thin team overall. Because of that, the blue line is basically solid. They've got their big name guys in Cam Fowler, Kevin Shattenkirk. So there's win some, you lose some. They haven't had too many issues on the back end. Hopefully I'm not jinxing that at all. And it looks like we're actually going to see Stolarz tonight. So if you're a DFS player, that news just coming across as Stolarz will be in action tonight instead of John Gibson. But for the last week, you know, led offensively by Troy Terry, 3 goals, 1 assist, Kevin Shattenkirk with a pair of helpers. And I really think, you know, with Zegras back, we should see his production go up. Isaac Lidstrom will move into a second line role. I would like to see him better paired with Jakob Silfverberg. I think that's a better group there rather than Vinny Lattery. But so far, you know, we'll see what the combination shake out to with Zegras back. But it has been Lundstrom potentially with Lattery, and I don't love that.
No, I agree with you. In Arizona, they had a quiet week with only 1 game, and they lost it. But the Hawks are circling above this team, AJ. Jacob Chikrin missed last 5 games. He's their top defenseman on this roster. He's been out for 5 games, and he's likely going to miss 1 more week with an upper body injury. And there's a lot of teams that are expressing interest in this guy. And I'm hearing that Arizona might even be willing to deal with him, but they're asking for a king's ransom to get this player if this player is to be moved. Barrett Hayden is another youngster that is kind of a future centerpiece of this team. He's getting a look at the top line center position right now, and he has 3 assists in his last 6 games. I think that this guy has a big future if he can take the next step from a stellar junior hockey career. Lawson Crouse is another guy that is spoken about almost in the same terms as Jacob Chikrin. He's a pending RFA playing left wing on the second line, and he's also getting a lot of interest from other teams. With Chychrun out, though, there's another focus on defense. Yanis Moser is the guy's name. He's a second-round pick from their 21 draft, was promoted from the AHL. He's getting power play time in place of Chychrun, and he's already responded with two goals in four games played. So one of the debuts, and there'll be many here, that's going well so far in Arizona. But for the most part, the news is still that this is a team that'll be on the outside looking in come playoff time.
Paul, I literally jinxed it. Not even kidding you. As we're sitting here after my comments about the COVID things getting better for Anaheim hasn't really impacted the goalies. Just saw Gibson. It looks like tested positive for COVID this morning, which is why Stolarz is going to get the start. So, man, I should maybe limit my comments on players moving forward here the rest of this show. I won't be talking about the Penguins at all to avoid any issues. Happy to discuss Toronto at length and talk about guys that are doing good. But anyway, I digress. For Boston, big news today is that Charlie McAvoy will not be in the lineup tonight. He's dealing with a lower body injury. So that's going to be a significant impact for them, especially on their power play. Most likely, Grzelcyk will step into that role with, Pasternak, Bergeron, Marchand. So that's really a big responsibility bump for him. There could be other guys that are candidates for that as well. And then I think the other big news to do with Boston is not even a guy on the line or in the roster, but Tuukka Rask signed a professional tryout agreement with the AHL Providence Bruins. And this is kind of the first step towards him potentially signing full-time in the NHL. So they'll see. Remember, he's recovering from that hip injury. So they will see how things go in Providence here, make sure everything is working the way it should. And then I would not be surprised to see him sign an NHL contract with the Bruins next week.
Good call there, AJ. The Buffalo Sabres, they're winless in their last four. Thompson getting two assists, Murray getting two assists, leading the scoring for this team, but they're having trouble putting the puck in the net. Big reasons why are they had Alex Tuck in the lineup for three games, but now he's in the COVID protocol along with Peyton Krebs, Anders Bjork, and Kyle Pozo. And in net, they have also got Dustin Tokarski in the COVID protocol. That leaves the goaltending to a young tandem in Luukkonen and Subban, splitting their assignments most recently. Zemgus Girgensons is a guy that missed the entire season last year for the Sabres, and I thought that he would be a key part of this team, but he too has been battling COVID. He's out of the protocols now, and I expect him to move back into a top six role fairly soon, though right now he's listed as a third liner on the right wing. Once a hot commodity, Will Butcher on defense. I remember when he was the talk of the town in terms of being an undrafted NHL free agent, but we're seeing why he was undrafted. The guy's a -8 with only 3 points in 25 games played, so I'm kind of glad that my team didn't blow their brains out trying to get this guy into their lineup. He's barely hanging on to a second pairing role. He's lucky that he's in Buffalo. Otherwise, I don't think he's in the NHL the way he's been playing.
Yeah, interesting fact about him. He is a Sun Prairie, Wisconsin native. So I will hear no more bad news or bad words about him on this podcast, Paul. In Carolina, they're on a four-game winning streak. They played just two games this last week, led by Andrei Svechnikov with a goal and two assists. Seth Jarvis continues to wow with another one goal and two assists. And this, this youngster, this rookie has really burst onto the scene. 22 games played, 5 goals, 9 helpers on the year. He's got 3 power play points, a pair of game-winning goals as well. So really it's, he is putting together a strong season. Interestingly, they have shuffled things around where he's been slotted in as a fourth line option for them, kind of stacking their big names together in the top here in terms of like Teravainen with Aho and Niederreiter, Svechnikov with Trocheck and Fast. But they still have him on the second power play unit. And I think that's maybe a good balance of trying to maybe limit his minutes because he's a rookie and, you're trying to ease him into the NHL a little bit, although he hasn't seemed to need it. while also still giving him those power play opportunities. So I think really good, good work by the team as a whole, and really wanted to highlight him. Of course, the team is on a 4-game winning streak. And again, that's being led by Freddie Anderson, who himself is on a 6-game winning streak dating all the way back. His last loss came in November. Six wins for him, a 1.57 goals against average. And, I will continue to haunt you with this, Paul. I don't understand why people in Toronto wanted to chase him out of town with pitchforks and torches.
Well, I'm with you. I was a big fan of his throughout his tenure in Toronto. I think he was given a raw deal by the club, by the fans of the club, who kind of blamed him for playoff failures. But you look at his numbers, and even in those playoffs, if you don't put his name there, you think they got good goaltending there with the save percentage around 92-93%. The goals against average was well under 3, sometimes under 2 even in the last series that he played against Columbus. He had a shutout and allowed 5 goals over the 5 games played, and they lost that series. So crazy stuff there. But AJ, before I get into the next team, I got an idea for our next show. We should have a draft based on players that were born in and around our home cities and where we live.
So I'll That's go not even close to well, fair.
I'll go first, and I'll pick Connor McDavid, who was born in Richmond Hill.
Not even, I guess maybe if you limit it just to Richmond Hill, but I thought you were going to take Toronto as a whole.
I mean, no. I can go local. I get McDavid and I get Bennington in goal. That's a pretty good start for me. I'll take that.
Yeah. I think you might win.
In other news, we'll get back to our rotation now, and I get to talk about the Calgary Flames. AJ, I was kind of surprised when I saw that they are tied for the NHL lead in wins on the road with 13. That just goes to show you that they've had a really good start to this season, and they can play anybody anywhere. They've got lots of size, speed, and skill. And tonight they're matched up against Tampa, and I'm calling that game a coin flip just because of the quality that I see on this Calgary roster. Markstrom and the Nets has slipped a little bit of late, though. I'll say with three games last week, allowed a whopping 11 goals. That's very high for him. He did come away with 2 wins, though, because this team is loaded for bear offensively. And they're getting good performances from their stars right now. Johnny Gaudreau with 7 points, Tkachuk with 6, Backlund with 2 helpers. Shillington's been a revelation on defense, and he had 3 more points to his record last week. And Noah Hanifin, a guy who was a top draft pick in the NHL a few seasons ago, starting to really find his groove in Calgary and fitting in as a really strong two-way player on that defense with 3 more points for himself. And Sean Monahan seems to finally got himself out of the doghouse a little bit. He's contributing more in scoring with a couple of helpers last week. A big note here, we're not talking about any injuries of any sort. This is the healthiest lineup in the NHL right now. One more note that I'll add is Blake Coleman, who was brought in to be a third-line agitator type. Look at what he's doing now, AJ. He's moved up to a second-line role on the left side with a whopping 42 shots on goal in his last 11 games. He had 12 in his last outing alone. So I don't know what elixir he's been drinking, but he's looking better and better and moving up the roster, and might be a guy to watch going forward.
Well, in Chicago, at first glance, you'd look at the fact that they're winless in their last 5 games and immediately would be concerned about that. It's not as big of a concern for me, only because if you look at those, 3 of those games have ended in overtime losses for them. So obviously from a standing perspective, they get the point. But more for me is the fact that it's one bounce goes a different way, slightly different thing. And then they've won 3 of their last 5. But if you're insistent on being pessimistic about the Chicago Blackhawks, and I know people from Chicago are very quick to dump on their team sometimes when things are going south, the fact that their 2 non-overtime losses in that 5-game stretch were pretty significant ones to some top teams. You're talking a 6-1 defeat to the Predators, 5-1 to the Flames. And I think the writing's probably on the wall for Chicago this season. Obviously, plenty of hockey left. They're not eliminated, but sitting 7th in the Western right now with just 27 points. They're not looking like a contender, which – I think maybe a lot of people or some people thought they would be once they added Fleury and they got Taze back, but it just isn't coming together right now in terms of, offensive during that stretch. It's been okay. DeBrincat with 3 goals in the last week here. Kane, three helpers. Seth Jones with a pair of assists. But, you know, there's not anybody really, other than DeBrincat and Kane, really scoring a lot here. And so you'd like more production out of guys like, you know, Kurashev or Strome or even Taves, as I mentioned, one goal in those three games from him as well.
AJ, when we talk about Columbus, I'm going to leave a question for you for last because it involves a player that will be a free agent at the end of the season. I'll get to him shortly. But this club went 0-2 last week. Gustav Nyquist with two goals and two assists. Alex Texier with two goals and one assist. On defense, Bo Wilquist is emerging as a contributor and has 3 points to his ledger. That has a lot to do with the fact that Brad Wierenski's in COVID protocol, and that means more ice time on the power play for Wilquist and Jake Bean, who are getting more reps on the power play because of the absence of Wierenski. He should be back fairly soon, though. Merz Likens in the Nets is out with a lower body injury. That means Jonas Korpisalo will be backed up by a longtime NHL shuttle guy, JF Berube. I don't know how many games this guy's played in the NHL, but I see him on rosters all year long. He sometimes has the best seat in the house for every game. That's his claim to fame, I think, when you look at his career. But right now, up front, Cole Sillinger's out day-to-day with an unknown injury. That leaves Roslovic and Jenner as the top centers for now. And Jenner's had a nice season. Roslovic has found life to his liking very much in Columbus. But another guy who arrived there, and this is where the question comes in, AJ, is Max Domi. He's moved down to right wing on the third line. He's a pending UFA on an expiring $5.3 million contract. I would bet my house he's not going to play in Columbus again next year. I'm sure of that. This guy, he started in the NHL with Arizona, and I know secondhand from a family relative, I won't say who it is, who I met here locally and said, when she found out I was into hockey, she said, oh, I'm related to this guy. And, you know, he's really suffering in Arizona and he wants out. He wants to play in a hockey city. Well, he got his wish in Montreal and that didn't really pan out. And that's why he wound up being traded to Columbus. But I wonder what the future holds for him. And if you could project, what kind of salary do you think this guy will merit on the free agent market, given that he's coming off a $5.3 million hit?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely less. I don't think he's going to, you know, generally speaking, for a guy in his 20, you know, that's 26, you see that contract kind of go up. But yeah, I agree with you, Paul. I just don't think I've seen enough to warrant somebody giving him more money. And honestly, I'd be surprised if he got any sort of term. I mean, I know his most recent deal, it wasn't like a long contract. It was just 2 years. But I wouldn't be surprised unless something significantly changes this year where he can really start finding his, you know, his offensive game at the back end here. I think he's getting paid like a guy who had 40 points, 72 points his first year in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And he's certainly not going to hit 70 this year. Maybe he could still get to 40. I guess it depends a little bit, but I don't expect it to be a raise. I'll say that for sure. And then, Paul, I'll follow up in answer to your question. I dug it up here for you. JF Berube, a veteran of 34 NHL games over his career, with his most recent NHL-level games coming back in 2017-18, has bounced around with a couple of AHL clubs since then. But answer to your trivia question there. For the Colorado Avalanche, things just continue to roll for them. Darcy Kemper has been phenomenal, added two more wins this last week, bringing him in total to a six-game winning streak since returning from injury in early December. The goals against average, look, we've talked about this, Paul, and I've highlighted this, is that Darcy Kemper does not need to be pitching shutouts every single night. He just needs to be good enough. And in fact, he doesn't have any shutouts on the year. A 2.50 goals against average is perfectly fine for a guy with that offense in front of him. And again, to that point, you've got Eric Johnson got two goals this last week, which is outrageous to think. McKinnon, four assists. Nazem Kadri continues to roll. He had three helpers. Rantanen with 3 points as well. Two goals allowed, maybe three, and this team should be coming out roses every single time, and they're getting exactly what they need out of Darcy Kuemper right now, and there's no reason not to continue to ride him there. And let's just stop for a moment and say that there are always a lot of considerations, but Cale Makar certainly put his name in the mix for goal of the year with that OT winner against the Blackhawks.
No question about that. That was something else. AJ, over in Dallas, I like the way they're configuring their top six right now. Joe Pavelski started the season slow, but he's rolling and he's playing right side alongside two youngsters, Rupe Hintz at center, Jason Robertson on the left wing. But it's the second line that I want to highlight because once again, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are back together, this time Benn at center and Seguin on the right side. And the guy who benefits is a guy who's moved up from a third line role for parts of the year, that's Denis Gurianov. This is a young guy that also figures to be part of the next wave of stars on this club. And he started slowly this year, but I think if he can hold on to this role and with that, the other two guys should be in for a nice run here of success. So if you have a chance to pick him up in season long, that's a guy I would definitely target. In the Nets, Jake Oettinger has finally inched ahead of Braden Holtby most recently with four starts in the last six games here. He won his last two, but allowed seven goals against out of only 46 shots on goal. That's an eyebrow raiser for me. Braden Holtby had a long run before this bit of success for Oettinger, and I think he's due for another one soon. That's not a good save percentage that Oettinger's carrying over these four starts, I'll say that.
For the Red Wings, things are not quite as bad as they were last year. You know, last season, pretty much any game against Detroit was practically a win. And while I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, in part solely because of the division they're in, I mean, you're talking about they're sitting fifth right now, which isn't terrible, but they've got Tampa, Florida, Toronto, and Boston ahead of them in the Atlantic here. And so it just the math just isn't there. And while they might still be a walkover if they come into your barn, they're 4-10-1 on the year. At home, they're actually third in the league in home wins, behind only division rivals, actually, Toronto with 14 and Florida at 18. They're 12-5-2 at home. So Detroit is not quite the walkover. And I think that's an important message, too, for DFS fans is to, you know, myself, I'll speak just for myself. I tend to not really factor in home or away that often when building my lineup, maybe a little bit with goalies. But I think with Detroit, you really need to maybe consider that just because they have been so much better at home. This last week, in terms of offensive production, Tyler Bertuzzi and Pius Suter both getting a trio of goals. In fact, both guys picked up shorthanded goals this week. So, you know, obviously their penalty kill is doing something right there. Dylan Larkin had 3 points as well. So there are guys that I think you can use in DFS contests, especially when the Red Wings are playing at home.
And Edmonton might want to find another place to play. They certainly haven't had any success on the road with a 5-game winless streak that they just completed in Toronto. They played a good game here, but they were missing too many parts, AJ, when you consider that McDavid and Barry are in COVID protocol. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is out with an undisclosed injury on IR. That's moved guys like Warren Fogle up to get a look on left wing on the top line, and Ryan McLeod moves up to center on the second line between Hyman and Puljujärvi. Not a bad place for him. He won't get a long run there because McDavid will be back soon, but he might be a player to watch if he shows well this week, let's say. In the Nets, too, there was a bit of a headache with the struggles of Koskinen coming to a head, and some words were exchanged between players on the roster against the goalie and the goalie firing back, saying, you know what, I'm not getting a lot of run support, so dissension is creeping into things, too. Not a good scene. And yet, among it all, Draisaitl and McDavid each chipped in with 3 points apiece, doing what they do. Kyle Yamamoto had 4 points last week. I maligned him earlier this season, but he's starting to find little traction on that second line with Draisaitl and needs to do that, keep it up to hold on to that role. On defense, Duncan Keith and Cody Ceci combining for 5 assists in total. Kyle Turris, a bit player now, 2 assists for him. The aforementioned McLeod, though, doing himself a good service, AJ, picking up 3 points last week with the promotion that he's enjoyed in the last 7 days.
All right, Paul, as we get into the Florida discussion, I'm going to bombard you with some trivia. I didn't give you any lead up onto this. So over the last three seasons since joining Florida, how many shutouts do you think Sergei Bobrovsky has to his credit?
I'm going to say zero.
Close. It's one. And that came in his first season back in 2019-20. So I don't mean this to malign Bobrovsky's game. The team itself is on a four-game win streak. He is on a three-game winning streak. But more just to say that this is a team that is going to need some offense if they're going to get wins right now. Bobrovsky playing well enough. I'm not suggesting that somebody should take over for him. I'm not suggesting he's been bad. If you've got him in season-long fantasy, I think you're plenty happy with it. But the shutouts just haven't been there during his time in Florida. Fortunately, over this last week, in their three games, they have had the offense to support him, and that's led by Jonathan Huberdeau with 9 points over those three games. Eight of them are helpers, four of those points coming with the man advantage as well. So that's big for them there too. Anthony Duclair, 3 goals, 2 assists. Anton Lundell, 1 goal and 3 assists here as well. So it's a couple of different players. This team is really, really deep when you look at, you know, at their depth chart here. You've got a Barkov line on the first. You've got Huberdeau on the second line. You know, right now they're playing Frank Vetrano, Joe Thornton, and Owen Tippett as the third line. And just a couple, like, games ago, it may have even been earlier this week or last week, they scratched that entire line. That's how deep this team is. The guys that are third line right now were not even in the lineup. You know, they've had some other issues come up. Sam Bennett, obviously suspended, that have factored into that. But, you know, this is, like I said, a really deep team, a really good team. I haven't even talked about the defense, but I think everything points to them being a strong cup contender here. And if Bobrovsky were to get to that level where he's starting to rack up shutouts at any point, this team's going to be almost impossible to beat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing them for the first time against the Leafs in a few weeks. They haven't played yet this year. And the first match comes, I think, in early February. So I'm waiting to see that because it could be a first-round matchup. And it would be a shame that either one of those teams gets eliminated the way they're going right now. Los Angeles, they went 2-0 last week. Jonathan Quick continues to write a heck of a story. 2 more wins on his ledger, 4 goals against. He's playing a lot of games, 9 straight games in a row, in fact. And Cal Peterson's become nothing more than a footnote and a guy at the end of the bench who passes out the towels to his teammates. He's not getting any kind of a run. It's a shame because last year he certainly looked like he overtook Quick, but the veteran's got the number one job back and he's got both hands on it big time. Another new face there, Arvidsson up front, 2 goals, 2 assists, delivering just like he needed to be a factor here in the Los Angeles lineup and a fixture among the top six that really added a new dimension to this team. Otherwise, we'd be talking about Anze Kopitar and Dustin Brown leading the offense again. Danault is back in the lineup here as a second-line center. They missed him in his absence, but he chipped in offensively even in his last game, as well as the defensive attributes that he brings to the table. He had 3 points last time out, so that's good news. Another player I want to keep an eye on is Marty Furk. He was promoted from the AHL. He had 29 points in 24 games before the call-up. He's going to get a look on the left wing on that top line next to Kopitar, it seems. So I'll be curious to see how this guy fares back up in the National Hockey League.
For the state of hockey, obviously they had that fun New Year's Day game. I'm sure it was fun to watch on TV. Not sure I would have wanted to watch that one in person with the temperatures reaching like negative like 9, 10, 11. But it was fun to watch on hockey. And, Paul, if you haven't seen it, go find a picture of the Cam Talbot there wearing a beanie cap over his goalie helmet. It looks pretty silly there. So good news, bad news for Minnesota. I'll start with the bad news here. They've got a number of guys that are out of the lineup right now, and it's not necessarily related to COVID protocols. Nick Bjugstad was injured at practice just the other day, and they're saying he's you know, going to be out for a while is what they're deeming it. That's certainly bad news. Joel Eriksson Ek has been out already. Jordan Greenway is in COVID protocols. Jared Spurgeon's been out for a while. Cam Talbot won't be available tonight. These are big names. Like, these aren't guys that are depth pieces that you're missing and you plug other guys in and maybe find a way to move past it. The good news is that does speed up the team's look at guys like Marco Rossi and Matthew Boldy, both of whom have been lighting it up in the minors. Rossi, again, the ninth overall pick in the 2020 draft. He's got 23 points, including 7 goals in 21 games for AHL Iowa this season. And then Boldy, for his part, the 12th overall pick in 2019, he's got 10 points in 10 games for Iowa as well. So, yes, it's going to speed up getting these guys into the NHL, but I'm sure it's something fans have been eager to see. And at this point, when you consider Minnesota's winless in their last 5 games, having those guys back is certainly, or having those guys join the lineup could be kind of the push that everybody else needs.
And we get to Montreal again. AJ, last week we didn't talk about too much what was going on the ice. We can't add more to that this week because they haven't played for a while. They, in fact, will get back to action fairly soon. The next game is next week on the 12th of January, Wednesday, is their next outing. I believe it's against Boston, so a tough way to get started. They'll go into that with 1 win in their last 11 games. They made an interesting pickup on the waiver wire, and this is kind of what to watch for in Montreal. What are the pieces that they're going to add, and how are they going to do it going forward? Sammy Niku picked up 2 assists in the last week that he played. I guess he got 2 assists in the 1 game that they had. And I like this pickup, and it's indicative of the kind of work that Jeff Gordon and company are going to have to do to slowly rebuild this team. Gordon, in fact, is conducting interviews. Among the GM candidates are Roberto Luongo and Daniel Briere, 2 prominent names that every NHL fan would recognize, I think. And the credibility behind each name is there from a player standpoint. I don't know about the managerial experience. I think both of them have had a taste of it, but not really full bore at the NHL level. So we'll wait and see on that and how it plays out. But the question that I have in the back of my mind is, Jeff, for me, if I was in the president's chair, the first order of business for Jeff Gordon is to have a chat with Carey Price and say, look, you just signed a long-term extension here with 10 sheets a year coming your way. Do you really want to play out the string on a team that's going through a full-on rebuild, or would you accept a trade? And if they do, of course, the club would have to retain salary, AJ. It's time to clean house in Montreal, and I think the first step has to be to see whether their all-star goalie is willing to move, or does he want to stay here? I think that's step number one, and I'm curious to see how that's going to play out. Any thoughts by you?
Well, I think the problem there is that contract. Yeah. I mean, you talk about they would have to retain something. If they retain half, you're still talking about somebody taking on a $5 million contract for a goalie. Certainly a phenomenal goalie, but $5 million a year for a 34-year-old goalie that's dealt with knee injuries and other stuff. So it's like, oh, I'm not really sure that's something I want to take on for that price range, at least not until I see him on the ice. The question is, when is that going to happen? So we have to wait a little bit longer for that. In New Jersey, they're going to have to wait a while to see Dougie Hamilton on the ice. He had to undergo surgery for his jaw after taking a puck to the face. I would expect him to be out a significant chunk of time here. And really, they dropped a tweet that just had the hammer on this lineup. So it had one news release, had Dougie Hamilton headed for surgery, Jonathan Bernier headed to surgery. He's done for the year. Wow. For hip surgery. It also mentioned that Nico Hischier had picked up an injury. Now, that was on Tuesday. He is going to be back in the lineup tonight, so there's good news there. But it also had Pavel Zacha and Igor Sharangovich on the COVID protocols. They added Andreas Johnsson to the COVID protocols today as well. Tyce Thompson is another guy that remains out until likely mid-March. So things just are not going well for the Devils on the injury front here. Obviously, you know, it's going to be Mackenzie Blackwood's team. It always was going to be. But I think they would have felt a little bit better having a guy like Jonathan Bernier rather than John Killies as the backup here. And so they'll give a look to some other guys. PK Subban, I think, is going to get more opportunities on a power play with Dougie Hamilton out. Ryan Graves will have to eat up bigger minutes as well. So really a tough week for the New Jersey Devils.
The week was very positive for Nashville, AJ. UC Saros was a goal for the two games they won and gave up a total of three goals against. Philip Forsberg continues to quietly move up among the top goal scorers in the league with three goals and one helper. That gives him 17 on the year, and he's done it more quietly than any of the other top guys in that list. I'll say that. Janot added two goals, Cousins two goals, Johansson with two goals and one helper. He's a centerman that's had a real rejuvenation this season, I'll say. Again, he and Matt Duchene starting to pay back on the contract hits that they're on the books for with this team for a while still. Matthias Ekholm, four assists to his record. Trenin with 3 points, Tomasino with two, Granlund with two assists as well. Save for Dante Fabbro on the blue line. AJ, this is a healthy lineup. We haven't said that too much in the rundowns, and I think I'm going to start saying that. Going forward, there's two teams that have qualified so far in that lofty category. Saros, two goals or less in six of his last seven starts. His goals against is among the league leaders with 2.23 on the year per game. That's excellent. And up front, they're getting a nice look at center with the 1-2 punch of Granlund and Johansson. That affords them the luxury of moving Matt Duchene on the wing, and he's had great success there. That trio is really driving this offense.
For the Islanders, they had a good week as they try and dig themselves out of the cellar in the Metropolitan. They went 2-0 last week, wins by each of their goaltenders, both guys, Varlamov and Sorokin, picking up a win. And then some offense from guys like Noah Dobson had 4 points, Matthew Barzal four, Kiefer Bellows with a trio of points as well. And they're going to need to continue to do that. They sit last in the Metro. Now, it should be noted that they've only played 28 games. The next fewest in the division is 31. So if you gave them those three games, if they were all wins, that's 32 points. They're sitting closer to fifth with Philadelphia. I'm not going to say they're too far back yet. Again, there's a long season to go. They've got, 50 games plus here to go. But it's certainly going to take some work. Last week went a long way to get there.
In New York, the Rangers, Igor Shesterkin is back in the lineup. He picked up three wins last week, three games played, rather, for the team. And he won two of them with a total of three goals against. Goodrow with three goals and two assists led the offense. Zibanejad with three goals. Strome with two and two. Lafreniere is a guy that got up off the mat. He was quiet for a while, but has picked up 3 points. And he's getting more of a look on the second line here. On defense, Keandre Miller is seeing an uptick in minutes as well. I look for this guy to be an offensive contributor from the back end. Been quiet for the season so far, but he was highly regarded in his junior career, and I think he's just starting to scratch the surface. If he's a guy that's available in your season long, I'd be grabbing him. And I'll make a slight correction. The Rangers went 3-0 on the week. Shesterkin was in goal for two of those games. Georgiev, the other one.
For Ottawa, it's been a pretty quiet week because they've had a number of cancellations for them. I think the biggest news is that they were forced to, or maybe they wanted to, but it seems like they were forced into calling Matt Murray back up. Philip Gustafsson and Anton Forsberg at one point were in the COVID protocols. Murray gets into a game again. January 1, new year, back up in the NHL. Shelled for six goals on 40 shots. So obviously Toronto made him work for that one, but that brings his season to a continued losing streak, 0-6-0 on the year, but they still don't have Forsberg back. He's in COVID protocols. They're not expecting him back until later, maybe targeting around the 13th or the 15th that he would be back. So they're going to have to roll with either Murray and or Philip Gustafsson here. So unfortunately, the net mining situation isn't getting any better there. They're still dealing with a handful of players that are out for various reasons. Josh Brown, it's an injury. Shane Pinto is also an injury. Colin White, a shoulder problem that's going to keep him out until March. And then, of course, a number of guys in the COVID protocols. So things not going great for Ottawa, who, again, they've played just once since mid-December.
And the other team that one of us loves to hate, I kind of dropped the bomb on Montreal a couple of weeks ago, but feeling bad about it, and going soft against them. But you've got to be kind of smiling like a cat that that is full up after dinner scraps. And the Flyers have a list of people on the IR list that is very long, to be honest. And it's a lot of guys dealing with the COVID, but there are other injuries as well. Provorov, Sanheim, Giroux, Konechny, all with COVID. Ellis and Couturier still on the IR for at least another week. I know that your team is probably salivating at the prospect of playing them tonight. Scott Laughton has moved up into a role as the center on the number one line. That gives you an idea of the upheaval that's going on here. And a youngster by the name of Gerald Mayhew, 16 points in 24 games in the AHL, is being called up to fill in as left winger on the second line. I think I take the over on this one, and I could credit Pittsburgh for getting there all by themselves, as we talked about it on DK show, AJ. At this point, we'll take a break and be back with our look at the remaining teams, and our DFS plays are still ahead on the show. You're listening to RotoWire's podcast with Statsman and AJ. We'll be back after these messages.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. You're listening to RotoWire's podcast with Statsman and AJ. Let's have a reminder, AJ, for our listeners and how they can reach out to us during the course of the week. Over to you, partner.
Yeah, we definitely love interacting with people on social media. We encourage you to send those comments, questions about fantasy hockey, your teams, or really any topics that you find interesting. We are always down for discussing whatever. I'll put the caveat on there, except NBA. I don't know anything about basketball other than, when Wisconsin wins the championship and I watch, you know, the only basketball games of the year were the NBA finals last year. So if you want to talk Bucks, I'm down for that. But other than that, maybe hit Paul up with any NBA questions. He's a little bit more knowledgeable there than me. To do that, you can reach me on Twitter at AJSchultz24, and you can follow Paul at Statsman22.
And AJ, before you talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm getting a little excited about the soccer scene, so I might have to learn from you. The Toronto FC just announced the signing of a major Italian star. Insigne is the guy's name. And they're talking to another guy, Belotti. If they start to sign the Italian national team, how can I stay away? So that's what I'm looking at up here. I can't wait to see how that second situation winds up with Belotti. But a lot of excitement in the soccer front here in Toronto the last few days. But now let's get back to hockey, and you tell us what's going on with your favorite club. They're on a roll with 9 straight wins, and I bet you can't wait till tonight's game starts.
Well, absolutely. So, Paul, I should also mention for our Canadian listeners out there, you could check out the Bundesliga, the German league. Alfonso Davies of Team Canada plays for them. Germany puts out a pretty good product, and he plays for Bayern Munich, who are always winning the league. So another option there for you, Paul, if you want to start getting into soccer with me. Happy to have you along for the ride.
Right.
For the Penguins, look, Paul, I'll steal a phrase from the great Mike Lang about Flyers being in the dumpster, Penguins on a 9-game winning streak. I'm as happy as the butcher's dog is how that one goes. And look, there are some things that young players in the NHL need to learn. And the Blues last night, that was a lesson learned for Nico Mikkola, in that he got into a bit of a scrum with Sidney Crosby, exchanged some punches. His team was winning at the time, and then they lost when Sid took over the game. You don't poke the bear like that. And I think it's going to end up hurting the Flyers as well tonight. You've got Rust with 5 goals and 3 assists in their last 2 games here. Crosby's got 4 points over that stretch. Evan Rodriguez, another player who I won't say came out of nowhere, but like his offensive game has really blown everything else he's done in his career out of the water. His career high prior to this season was 9 goals in 74 games while with the Sabres. He's got 14 already in just 32 games this year. Chris Letang, 4 helpers over the last week as well. Gensel rolling with 4 points. So everything looking pretty good. If there's a knock on the Penguins, it's the backup net mining, which we saw happen last night. Casey DeSmith with a disappointing game in which he gave up 3 goals on 16 shots before getting the hook. Jarry came in, pitched a perfect relief appearance, and got Pittsburgh the win.
That's it?
That's all I got, buddy. 9 game
win streak.
Let's make it 10.
I was going to bump up my pillow, man. And we'll talk next about the Seattle club. They're winless in their last 5. And for fans who were hoping that they would have a season like Vegas when they came into the league, it's not working out that way for the Seattle club. They're a competitive team, no question. But they're going through a period of struggle right now. Despite that, there are some bright lights. Kelly Yarncroft with 4 points and Mark Giordano back in full swing on defense with 3 points on the back end and providing the leadership that we knew that he would as the captain of this club. Ryan Donato was riding a hot streak before COVID felled him. So I'm curious to see what he's got as he's getting ready to move back into the top 6. That should solidify the look of the top 2 forward lines, which I quite like here, in fact. And on the back end, I'm looking in the net situation, and Grubauer and Driedger are splitting games over the last 6 starts. And that's good news for Grubauer because he was playing a ton early on. And good news for Driedger, too, because I thought he was going to be a signature piece for this team. And a tough start injury-wise for him is now in the rearview mirror. So maybe the best is yet to come for this team. But In the infirmary, there is some challenging news with Schwartz dealing with an upper body injury, Alex Wenberg with COVID protocol, and Tanev with a knee injury. He's out for the season. That's the toughest situation of all here in the news with Seattle this week.
Well, another team being bombarded by injury and COVID concerns is the San Jose Sharks. Another tough day for them, as we found out today that Jacob Middleton and Erik Karlsson are going to be out for tonight's games, both of which are dealing with upper body injuries. James Reimer dealing with a lower body hurt that'll keep him out tonight. And there's talk that they could designate him for injured reserve, depending on the severity of the injury. And then, of course, they are already without Kevin LeBanc, who's not expected back until mid to late February. Logan Couture is on the COVID protocol list. And so, again, this is another team that's really thin tonight. Aiden Hill going to be making the start tonight. He has not started a game since December 9th. Now, obviously, there was the shutdown there in the middle, or December 18th, rather. I missed a game. But it's been a while since he's seen the ice. in a starting spot. So I wouldn't be expecting a ton out of him heading into tonight's game. And again, he's not going to have a whole lot of support, especially defensively, when you consider Carlson and Middleton are probably two of their top four defensemen, and both are out of the lineup.
All right, AJ, and that brings me now to talk about the St. Louis Blues. Jordan Kyrou having a breakout season for this club. 3 goals and 2 helpers last week. Rob Thomas with 2 assists. As Jordan Binnington come back from the COVID protocol, but I'll note that he struggled back since he's been back in the lineup. 4 starts, 15 goals against. That's one of the poorest runs that this guy's had in his young career, and I'm looking for that to be righted soon. Because other than that, the only blemish on this roster is Vladimir Tarasenko missing from the lineup, and he's dealing with the COVID protocol, so he'll be back soon. And they just got Oscar Sundqvist back, so they are experimenting with a new look among their forward ranks, and it almost behooves me to take a minute to run through that really quickly, because it's got a look that I haven't seen for a few years. They really shuffled the deck here. Brendan Saad, Oscar Sundqvist, and David Perron make up the first line, with Sundqvist at center, Thomas at center between Kyrou and Braden Shen on the second line, and an obvious attempt to stretch the roster. Brian O'Reilly, the captain of this club, to a third line role with Ivan Barbashev, who's had a pretty nice season of his own, and Pavel Buchnevich on the left side. I would say that there are interchangeable lines in terms of 1, 2, and 3. I would rank O'Reilly's unit the best of the three, the way it looks to me right now. So the news is pretty good out of St. Louis, but they'd like to see their goalie get back to his usual level, and then they'll continue to be a tough out going forward.
Yeah, obviously, I agree, Paul. Losing Tarasenko, who entered the COVID protocols today, it is a big loss for them, and they'll have to go, depending, but likely about 5 days without him in the lineup. Speaking of guys out of the lineup, it looks like the day has finally come for Tampa Bay Lightning fans. Nikita Kucherov is cleared to play in tonight's game. It will be his first game back since October 16th. Unfortunately for Tampa, it's not all coming up roses, as Steven Stamkos is dealing with an undisclosed injury and is considered a game time decision tonight. So you get one big name guy back and now appear to be set to lose another. So that's obviously a problem there. But this last week, 1-2-1, some of that done without their big netminder, Andre Vasilevskiy. His first game back, January 2nd, allowed 4 on 21 shots. But when you consider it had been like 3 weeks since he had played, can't really expect too much out of him there. Bounce back, just 2 goals allowed against Columbus in a winning effort there. I would expect Vasilevskiy to get back to rolling. He really was. He had 7 straight wins heading into the break here. So give him a game, maybe 2, to find it. But I expect him to start churning out wins like he always does moving forward.
All right, AJ. And next up, that means I get to talk about the Maple Leafs. They're on a 4-game win streak. 2 wins and 2 goals against for Jack Campbell, and 1 shutout as well. I wonder if they're going to give his backup a bit of a run. It's time to see what they have in the reserve situation here. Peter Mrazek, I don't expect this guy to be back next year, AJ. So for me, a big part of this, the rest of the season, has to be giving this guy enough game action that other teams get to see what he can bring to the table. The Leafs cannot afford to have him in the nets and sign Campbell to a big deal going forward. So that's something that I'll be keeping an eye on for the rest of this season, to see how Mrazek looks in a regular role. I won't say he's going to play more than Campbell by any means, but he maybe plays 1/3 of the remaining games at least, to get a body of work there that might attract some teams. I'm thinking Edmonton would be a team that should be interested in anybody who has knee pads that goalies wear, and be taking a look at them. So that might be a fit in the off season, but one of the things I'll be looking for. And then in terms of what's happening now, Ilya Mikheyev really making a name for himself. He had a tough go with injuries earlier this season with a bad injury that's kept him out of the lineup, and now he's back and rolling. He's got 3 goals over the last week, TJ Brody finding some offense. He got goals in three straight games at 4 points last week in total. Willie Nylander has picked up 4 points. And I'll say this about Nylander. He's really matured as a player, AJ, and a quantum leap has been made in that regard. And I think it has a lot to do with seeing the professionalism of a guy like John Tavares, who he's playing with at center on that line. And Alex Kerfoot is a guy that was talked about in terms of being an expendable part to shed some salary, but he's been a very valuable player to round out the top six while they've dealt with injuries throughout the course of the year. He's found a way to stay in the top six and be competitive and productive. In shorthanded situations, he's a factor, and he picked up 5 points offensively as well. So I think this guy's a keeper going forward. If they're going to shed salary, I think they got to look elsewhere in the lineup, and that begins with the second string goalie here for me.
Well, in Vancouver, it was a 1-0-1 week, but I think the bigger news, unfortunately, if you're not a goalie fan, sometimes I feel like myself, but a lot of shows tend to highlight the goalies a little bit more. But in this case, we kind of have to when you consider first off that Thatcher Demko, 7-game winning streak right now with a 1.40 goals against average. That's certainly going to help Vancouver to try and compete here. They are right in the mix. I know they're listed seventh in the Pacific, but they're 3 points back from Edmonton and are getting phenomenal goaltending. Now, this has led to some speculation that perhaps Jaroslav Halak would be on the trade block here for them. You know, you look at his numbers on the year, he's played in just 8 games, 1-4-2 over that stretch. I'm sure there are teams out there that would be interested in his services. The goals against average, 2.59. The save percentage, 915. But it's interesting to see basically how good Demko's been and how much he's been playing that suddenly a guy like Jaroslav Halak, who I thought would take a bigger share of the goalie work, if I'm being totally honest, has been really relegated to a true number two spot, and that they might try and cash in and see what they can get for him on the market.
AJ, in Vegas, they had a 1-1-1 week. The highlight offensively was Matthias Janmark filling in for some of the injured guys that we'll get to in a sec. He got 3 goals. Zach Whitecloud has had a productive season for them on the back end. Same with Braden McNabb chipping in. They've had a hole in the back end ever since Alec Martinez and Nick Hague went out of the lineup. Martinez's situation, another facial injury. He's on the LTIR, so it'll be a while before we see him. So it's important that they figure out what to do on the back end. And I note that they added Ben Hutton, who was a spare part with the Leafs earlier this season. He's now in the top D pair here with Alex Pietrangelo. So that was an eye-opener for me. Offensively, they're looking for Stevenson now to be flanked by William Carrier and Evgeny Dadonov on the second line. The familiar faces of a line that was formed in their expansion season is still a line that is intact and will drive the bus offensively for a while here, while the likes of Stone and Pacioretty are sidelined, and in anticipation of Jack Eichel, we're still looking at Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault to lead this offense.
Well, in the last week, Washington went 1-0-1. Alexander Ovechkin with 2 goals, Garnet Hathaway with 2 helpers. But they're going to get some reinforcements heading into their next game here. Backstrom and Oshie both back from illnesses that had kept them out of the lineup. And they're also going to get Dmitry Orlov back from an upper body injury. So they're really getting healthy right at a time where they're going to face some challenges for the top spot here. You look at the top 4 teams in the Metro. The Rangers are on a 3-game winning streak. The Hurricanes are on a 4-game winning streak. We talked about the Penguins having won their last 9. So Washington's going to need all hands on deck to really avoid falling in the standings, because there are so many clubs in that Metropolitan Division that are playing really good hockey right now. And it starts and stops, obviously, with Alexander Ovechkin, but he can't carry the load entirely by himself. And getting guys like Backstrom and Oshie back in the lineup will certainly help spread out their scoring options here.
In Winnipeg, the Jets went 2-0 last week, and added to the win they got to end the previous week, they're on a 3-game streak overall. Connor Hellebuyck in the nets for the 2 wins last week, a total of 5 goals against. Mark Scheifele led the offense with 3 helpers. Morrissey with 3 helpers. Connor got a goal and two assists. He's been in one of the top goal scoring snipers in the NHL all season long. So the offense is rolling along. But the key part for me is the development and realization that Pierre-Luc Dubois is a high-end center, and he's showing why right now. He's on a long-term role, and he's got 26 points in 32 games. He's finally looking like the center I thought they were getting last season. To round out the top six, though, an interesting contributor now is Jansen Harkin sliding in to the lineup in the right wing on the second line. That move was necessitated by the absence of Blake Wheelers, who was going to be sidelined for a while. It could be a revolving door, but I'll keep an eye on Harkins, and I think we all should, to see if he can make good on the opportunity, because he could be a cheap DFS value play for a little while if he is productive. And also worth noting, Christian Reichel was called up from the AHL to plug in on the right wing on the third line. So everybody moves up a notch with the injury situation to Wheeler. And Reichel is the latest call up in that mix. So, AJ, that concludes our look at the 32 teams. And now we switch gears and we make our weekly picks on the DFS side of things. We've had a great, great season all year long on FanDuel and DraftKings. I've been highlighting FanDuel picks, and you've been highlighting DraftKings picks. Let's keep the roll going, brother, and let me hear what you got in store on DK tonight.
Well, sometimes, Paul, it helps to be lucky better than good. You and I talked about this. I made what normally would have been a critical error last night. My brain turned off. I knew Casey DeSmith was starting. I put Jari in my lineup. I got two little ones running around keeping me on my toes. So fortunately for me, DeSmith got pulled. Jari was perfect in relief and picked up the win. So I cashed a mini cash last night thanks to that. Sometimes better to be lucky than good. But I'm going to go back to the tried and true formula that I used last night, and that is to heavily stack the Pittsburgh Penguins here.
I didn't see that coming at all.
What?
I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll cruise over that pretty quickly here, but I'm going to use the first line here. Crosby at 8,200, Gensel at 7,300, Brian Rust at 5,500. Look for Rust. A guy coming in at 5,500, anything less than 6K is a value for him when he's got five goals in his last two games. I'm even going to toss in Evan Rodriguez. I'm basically getting four parts of their number one power play right now. Rodriguez, as I highlighted earlier, has been red hot for them. So it's a do or die lineup, a pens or bust, if you will. So I'll go more into depth in the rest of my lineup here. Tage Thompson for Buffalo is an intriguing option for me. San Jose has been having a really hard time keeping pucks out of the net. Buffalo is also dealing with kind of some absences, but Tage Thompson is their leading goal scorer and leading point producer right now, playing on their top line, and he only comes in at 4,900. So with the kind of expensive stack that I'm going for Pittsburgh, really had to save money elsewhere in the lineup here. And I think Tage Thompson is a good spot to be in with how productive he's been. Good matchup against San Jose. I'll pivot over to my utility spot. Another center that I'm going to put in is Anton Lundell for the Florida Panthers. He comes in at a really discounted 3,800. Again, playing second line center for that really deep Florida team. The matchup is decent against Dallas. Dallas is not a walkover team. But he's on a four-game point streak right now. Two goals, three helpers over that stretch. Hasn't really done much on the power play. They have been giving him more opportunities of late. So we'll see if that carries over. But again, at 3,800, a guy on a four-game point streak, I think as long as he keeps rolling, it's a good spot to be in. I've obviously spent up all of my money elsewhere in my lineup, so I'm going to punt a little here in terms of the defense, but strategically punt. And I'm going to start with Dylan Coghlan from the Vegas Golden Knights here. He comes in at 2,900 and really won't, not breaking the bank, but he has been seeing minutes on the second power play for the Vegas Golden Knights. The Rangers matchup is a tough one, but I think it's a guy, you look at his last three games, he's averaging four shots a game, dishing out some hits, getting some blocks, and like I said, some power play minutes. So should have an opportunity. And similarly, Ryan Merkley for the San Jose Sharks, 2,500, yesterday at practice. He filled in on the second power play unit with Erik Karlsson sidelined. So just kind of playing the odds here that he could see some added minutes and opportunities in a scoring position. And then between the pipes, I'm going to put Tristan Jarry back in. The Pens haven't named their starter yet, but with how terrible DeSmith looked at the start of the game yesterday, the fact that Jarry didn't have to play the whole game, I would expect to see him back in the lineup. And I will this time, if DeSmith does get the start, I think I will switch my goalie rather than just banking on him being pulled. So that's my DraftKings lineup. Paul, what are you doing over on FanDuel?
Well, I think that you made the right pick in terms of the line that you would stack tonight. So I didn't want to duplicate that. And I looked instead for duos, and I come up with a couple of one of them, and I shared them on our show on DraftKings, but I'll repeat them here for the people that didn't tune into that episode. Up front offensively, I have Patrice Bergeron for $8,200, and I pair him, of course, with a longtime running mate, Brad Marchand, who's $9,000. I know they have a tough matchup against Minnesota, but the Bruins are a tough out at home, and I think these two guys are going to lead them to a victory tonight. And so that's going to be one pair that I'll focus on. Another guy that rounds out my center position is Anze Kopitar for Los Angeles. He's been the typical two-way version of himself all season long. He costs only $6,800 tonight. I don't expect a high-scoring game here, but this kind of game is his bread and butter. I expect a tight defensive struggle, and I think he's going to be a decisive factor and may even factor into an empty net goal. So he could get me good points offensively just with that little bit of offensive opportunity. Rounding out my forward complement, I have Henrik Borgstrom, who's listed as a winger on FanDuel, AJ, and the key point here for me is actually he's listed as the center on our lineups for RotoWire, and he's going to be playing alongside Patrick Kane on that top line for the Chicago Blackhawks. So that's my second pairing. Borgstrom comes in at only $3,800 on FanDuel. Kane, of course, one of the premier players in the league, comes in at $7,700. So a bit of a high-low there to put those two guys in. And to complete my offensive look, I have Alexander Barabanov of San Jose. They're in Buffalo tonight, so a pretty favorable matchup for him. And he's playing first-line minutes again. This guy was a fourth-liner in Toronto and was cast off to San Jose and has found his way. He had a productive year. I believe he's up to 19 points, and many of them recently in the last 15 games that he's played. So he's getting a long look and a nice run in a first-line role. And for $4,700, I figure, why not against Buffalo? So that leaves me with a defense pairing to put in place. I mentioned Ben Hutton earlier on, moving into a first-line pairing role with Alex Pietrangelo out of the lineup. So $3,800 is the price tag for him. I'm sorry, Alec Martinez is out. He's playing with Pietrangelo. So he's paired with him at $3,800. And Matt Grzelcyk, you tipped me off on this one, AJ, so I'll give you credit here. A hat tip to you. I'm putting him in place to be my power play quarterback for the Bruins tonight and pay off handsomely on his $4,200 price tag. And then finally in goal, I have to go cheap here, but I'm getting a good win probability as New Jersey Devils are at home against a Columbus team that is right there with them in the standings. This could be a coin flip of the game, but if Blackwood receipts for the win, that's good value for me at his low $6,800 price tag. So that's my winning lineup heading into tonight's action, partner. I like the look of both of them, so I'm going to be playing both of them. We'll see how it goes. But any final thoughts for you before we anticipate the heavy schedule on tonight's board? We'll be all over it. Channel surfing at my house, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, excited to have big game slates back and everything rolling. Hopefully we can get to a point where we're not seeing too many more cancellations or really any more if we can avoid it. And yeah, get back to having hockey at its best.
Very good, partner. That wraps up our look around the league, folks. In year 7 of podcasts, we're having a ball, despite the fact that it's been a bit of a wonky season. But we'll get through it. I think the best is yet to come. And we thank you for listening to RotoWire Signature Fantasy Hockey Pod podcast with Statsman and AJ. In the meantime, as always, please remember to send your comments or questions on Twitter. Follow me, Paul Bruno, at Statsman22. And you can follow AJ at AJ Schultz 24. As always, we invite you to listen to our tips to get us stay ahead of the competition in your fantasy hockey planning and research. So long, everybody.